Okay, let me pray. Father, we're very aware of your presence with us this morning already. And we're so grateful for it. We need you. And we just thank you so much that you choose to dwell with us and that you choose to come and make your presence felt. And now as we approach Scripture again, we just ask that you would open our eyes to something new today. That you would either confirm a word that you've been speaking to us or open our eyes to something that we have yet to know about you and to learn and to put into practice in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say. Stop my mouth if it's not of you, but use what I have prepared in order to speak to your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in our seminar series, we've been working through a series entitled The Will of God. And we've been looking at how you discern the will of God and what is the will of God. It's been a couple of weeks since Ben's spoken to us, so I thought we could maybe just do a quick refresh on what he spoke on. And that seminar was called How Does God Speak? So what can you remember? What are some of the different ways that God might speak to us? Just shout them out. Chilton. In silence. Okay. Jackie? Through the Bible. Yep.
Through our hearts.
Through our hearts, through an impression or a feeling within us. Yep.
Dreams.
Dreams and visions. Yep.
Through action.
Through actions. Yeah. And some other people's actions as well, isn't it? Yeah. There's somebody said something over here. Brian, was it you? Did you say something? I heard a male rumble. John. Dreams. Yeah. Yeah? Anything else? That's good. Okay, so we had an external audible voice, something in public, God's voice speaking that everybody could hear. Doesn't happen very often, but it's something in a way that God does speak. We had that private voice outside. So like Samuel. Eli didn't hear what God said to Samuel, but Samuel clearly heard an audible voice in his room. We've got that internal voice that we just hear in our heads. We've got dreams and visions. We've got words and pictures and impressions that God lays upon our heart. But angels, God uses his angels to speak to us sometimes. As Jen said, he uses other people. They might have something from God to share with us. And of course, Jesus himself sometimes makes himself visible, heard, known in supernatural ways. Do you know what? It was such an encouragement to hear. I listened back to the teaching because I wasn't here that week. And it was just so encouraging to hear people's different experiences of how God speaks to them. Because it removes that disconnect from Scripture, doesn't it? That God only speaks to people in a history book. To actually God is real and present and speaks to us today. And he longs for us to hear his voice. That's what he desires. He wants to have that relationship with us, that we can hear him and respond to him. And if there's one thing we can take from the teaching at ABC over the last few years, is that God is relational, isn't he? He wants to be part of everything, every thought, every action, every decision that we make, every thought that we have. But today, what I'd like to look at is what kind of person does God speak to? Or what are the characteristics of the person to whom God speaks? Because we know in John 10 that it says, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know my voice, he goes on to say. And so from that, well, firstly, it's Jesus talking, okay? And he says, my sheep, that's us, hear my voice. So that means Jesus speaks, doesn't it? If we can hear something, then Jesus is obviously speaking. And we hear him, so we can hear God's voice. And you know what? I'm not going to dispute that because I'm not going to call Jesus a liar. If Jesus says it, then it's true. And it might not be our complete experience just now, but it's where we're aiming to get to. Because Jesus does speak, and we can hear him. So that's where we want to get to. But in the light of that, if we can all hear God, what's going to encourage God to speak to us? Are there character traits that God might look on us and say, yeah, you know what? You're ready to hear my voice. So remembering that God is relational, he doesn't provide us with a lovely, neat formula. If you do this and this and this and this equals hearing God's voice. Or if you put a mechanical process or principle in place to hear God, it doesn't work like that, does he? Because that completely defeats the purpose of God being relational and wanting to converse with us and us to get to know him. And it'd be easier for us, granted, but it's not how God works. He doesn't want us to be like robots. He wants us to get to know him. He wants that relationship to develop, and we can only do that by spending time with him. It's no different from the principles at work in our human relationships, is it? It's hard to hear someone that you're never with. How are you going to recognize their voice if you don't spend time conversing with them? So here's my first point. The kind of person that God speaks to is the one who spends intentional time with him. The one who makes himself available to him, waiting, listening, allowing time for conversation. We're never going to develop much of a relationship with anybody if we don't make time for them, are we? Or if we do all the talking but never listen to what they have to say. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Picture your closest friend. Think of how much time you've invested in that friendship. Think of all the conversations you've had over the years. You'd do anything for them, wouldn't you? They could call on you in the middle of the night and it would be absolutely fine. But here's the thing, do we give God that same access? At this point, I just want to say I'm not talking about spending more time reading the Bible, or not just that, because that is vital, absolutely vital in getting to know God, and a wonderful thing to do and a necessary thing to do, but it's more than that. Jesus himself says in John 15 that even though the Pharisees, who were the very religious people of his time, have diligently studied the scriptures, knew them inside out, they've never heard God's voice. That's quite a statement, isn't it? To have read scriptures for years and years and years, but never heard God's voice. So you can read the Bible, but not be spending time with its author. So when we read the Bible, we need to have that intentionality about us. We need to approach it as if we're having a conversation with our Father. Say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me through this passage of scripture? And how do I put that into practice? But if then we close the book and walk away, we're not going to have time to then answer that prayer, are we? How can we hear him if we've moved on already? Think of it like, for example, if I wanted to find out more about a medical condition, I would do my research, I would write down all my questions that I wanted the answers for. I would make an appointment with a professional to go and see them and speak to them about it. Turn up at the office, sit down, go through my list of questions in front of the doctor, and then just get up and walk out of the office. Well, that would just be completely foolish, wouldn't it? You wouldn't do that. We need to give time for God to speak to us. Not, Lord, speak to me, but just in this 30-second window. When God chose his disciples, their primary reason for being called was to be with him. Mark 3, verse 14 says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So before a ministry of preaching and deliverance, the disciples' priority was simply to be with Jesus. As author Jack Deere puts it, availability to God is the practical foundation for all of ministry. And the first requirement for hearing his voice. So how much time do we give him? 10 minutes on the way to work? Half an hour in the evening before you go to bed? Maybe even a couple of hours on the weekend when it's a bit quieter? Well, Hosea 10 says, seek the Lord until he comes. So that doesn't mean seeking the Lord and sitting doing nothing until you hear that voice. But it does talk about an attitude of heart, And this is important. We have to approach each day from the standpoint of Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We need to have the mindset that all of our time is God's time. All of our time is God's time. And in that way, we are making ourselves completely available to him. Allow God to own your day. Don't be content with just a quiet time and then shut him out for the rest of it. Keep that channel between you and God open 24/7. Let me give you an example of the difference that intentional availability can make. As some of you know, I have had a battle for a long time with depression and anxiety. And the anxiety side of things can get pretty bad, especially when I have more than my normal day-to-day life to cope with. So, for example, if I have a talk to prepare or I've got articles to write for the magazine or something like that. And that anxiety can just manifest itself until I'm like a rabbit stuck in the headlights and my thought process stops and I freeze and I panic and I've got all these uncontrolled anxious thoughts going on and I'm just stuck and I get nothing done. But what I found is that if I consciously allow God to order my time, then more often than not, I'll achieve more than I ever could have if I hadn't done that. I can write an article in record time, or I could find inspiration and plan a talk easily and still have time to do the ironing and maybe even have a cup of tea. That's literally examples of what has happened when I have prioritized time with God and I've said, right, enough, I can do nothing just now. I'm going to breathe and I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen to God. So I'm putting myself in that position to be able to hear from him. I slow down. And then I follow the prompts and suggestions that God gives me when I'm in that listening place. And then I keep that conversation open-ended throughout the day. Keep tuning in and saying, okay, God, what next? What next? Thank you for that. What now? And I just find I hear from God more on those days. I don't know why I don't do it more often, to be honest. It's human nature, isn't it? We tend just to turn to God in those times of extreme need. But you know what? If we can do that daily, if I can do that daily, I know I will hear from God more. And allowing my time to be his time, to order my day, God will speak. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, if we seek him with all of our heart and soul, then we will find him. So availability, intentional availability to God. That's the first character trait we need to nurture in order to hear from God. Well, the second is having a willingness to do what God says. I think it's fair to say that Jesus probably heard God's voice better than anybody. Yeah? And I believe that part of the reason for that is because God knew that Jesus would respond to what he had told him. John 5 says, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. This is Jesus talking. John 6:38, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So knowing that Jesus was utterly committed to doing God's will was like Jesus giving God a green light to say, yeah, come on, speak to me, tell me, talk to me. And because that was the object of his life, to do God's will, he could then hear God when he spoke. There's a recount in John 7 of something that happens with Jesus and his enemies, the people who were against him at that time. They were overwhelmed by Jesus' knowledge of Scripture, not just that, but his understanding of Scripture. They knew he was just a village boy. They knew he did no formal training. He wasn't a rabbi per se, but he just seemed to know stuff and to hear from God, and they wanted to know why. And this is what Jesus told them. He said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me, so God. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I speak from myself. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know. So in other words, that spiritual discernment, that ability to judge whether something is of God or not, comes from that willingness to do God's will. And if our goal in life is the same as Jesus, to do the Father's will first and foremost, then God will speak to us. He will. When he sees that we want to obey him more than anything else, he'll make his voice heard. He loves us. It's that green light that we're giving him to say, speak to me, Lord. But conversation's more than just words, isn't it? It's words and responses. So when you pray for someone, if God gave you a word to encourage them, would you share it? If you're in that position of prayer and God speaks to you about someone, would you then be willing to go and share it? I think perhaps we don't hear God speak more often than we do. It's because he knows we wouldn't act on what he says. And perhaps that's an act of mercy on his part. But how many more lives would be affected if we were willing to take that step? If we had the faith to believe that this was of God and we were willing to put ourselves out there and respond. Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Does anybody have, can anybody recall a time when God has spoken to them and they've had that decision to make as to whether to act on it or not? Mike, do you have something you could share?
Do you want me to share it?
If you're comfortable with sharing it. If we've got a handheld, John, we could use.
It was so positive. Thank you.
Yep, so.
Is that on?
Yep.
I'd been married for probably 2 weeks to Carol. And there was a mission, an exchange mission, with some Americans from Jackson in Mississippi. And we were invited as a church to go. So it was up to you whether you went or not. And I had this unmistakable thing saying, I want you to go. Thing being, Father, forgive me, but God saying he wanted me to go. And I was saying, Father, no, I've just got married and, you know, I have 3 young children and it's too much to expect of Carol and whatever. Anyway, so by myself and opening my Bible and, you know, thinking, and every passage that I read, and it was about 3 passages, was about reminding me of what Father had provided in my life, and he would like me to go. And my absolutely indelible memory is being 51, laying on my face on the floor in our dining room by myself, shouting, no, no, no. And at 51, I was also doing this with my feet.
You're having
I
a party.
Can't go. Father, I can't. And of course, I went. And it was such a blessing. And it was, you know, part of the blessing was from Carol when I shared this, her saying, Mike, you've got to go. You've got to go. And it was very, very difficult. For her, she was in, you know, imagine.
Yeah.
3 children who really didn't know her. And anyway,
yeah, it's not always easy what God asks us to do.
It was indelible. And, you know, as with all of us, I think there have been so many instances in our lives where we brought, but obedience is brings amazing blessings that are beyond our imagination.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Beyond our imagination. Yeah.
And that's
so
what we need to hold on
Father.
To, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's me, sorry.
Thank you.
Been a long one.
Does anybody else have anything to share? Shelton? Alison, would you mind running? Thank you.
Thank you. Most of you probably have heard this testimony, but I'm going to say it till the day I die. It was way back in 1991. I was still in Zimbabwe, where I come from. I had just finished school, couldn't find a job, tried really hard. I simply couldn't get a job. So I decided to kill myself. And the most common way of doing that back then was tying a rope around your neck. That was the way to go. So I made up my mind I was going to do it. I wasn't a Christian. I hadn't read the Bible before. But I just decided I wanted to give myself a Bible send-off before I die. So I just held the Bible for the first time. And I said I was going to read any verse that I was going to open. So I closed my eyes, opened the Bible. And the verse that I read says, "Do not worry about your life, about what you eat, about what you will clothe. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor put in barns, but your Father who is in heaven looks after them. Look at the grass that, you know, of the earth. It doesn't do anything, and the flowers, it's here today, but tomorrow it's all gone. So if God can look after these things, can he not look after you, you of little faith?" I was really scared. And I decided not to hang myself. And guess what? Within a week, I got the job that I had been looking for years. So, Katrina, thank you for bringing that. God does speak.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that was incredibly direct, wasn't it? God speaking through Scripture directly into your situation, and it turned it around. It's brilliant. Lovely, thank you. So we've had availability to God. We've had a willingness to do what he says. And then the third point I want to bring is humble people hear God's voice. God's got a soft spot for the humble. Do you know that? Scripture is just littered with references of God meeting with the humble, lifting them up, but removing himself from the proud. You only have to flick through Proverbs, and on any of the pages in Proverbs, you find half a dozen verses about pride and humility. But not just there. Let me read you a few. Isaiah 57:15. "I live in a high and holy place, but also with those who are contrite and humble. I live with them. He dwells with us." Psalm 138:6. "Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud." Proverbs 15:25, "The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place." James 4:10, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." In fact, aside from Jesus, I think the greatest person of revelation in the Bible was also the most humble. Does anyone want to have a guess about who the most humble person in Scripture is apart from Jesus?
Mary?
Nope. Moses. Yeah. Yeah, the Bible tells us in Numbers 12 that Moses was more humble than anyone on earth. And then a couple of verses later, it says that because of his humility and his faithfulness, God spoke to him in a way he did with no one else, face to face. Verse 6 says, "When there are prophets among you, I reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But with Moses, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord." Wow. Humility giving us unprecedented access to God. Daniel, he was another one who heard from God in remarkable ways. An angel came to Daniel and said, "Do not be afraid. Since the first day that you have set your mind to understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." So what is this humility that causes God to draw near and speak to us? It's a really difficult word to define. Does anybody want to have a go? How would you define humility? Anyone? Jackie?
Not thinking of yourself as better than others.
Not thinking of yourself as better than others? Yeah. Anyone else?
Self
Self-deprecation. I don't know if that quite nails it on the head, because I think humility is not thinking of ourselves as worthless or no good, because that's not what God says about us. But I think that humility before God is a distrust of our own abilities and our own goodness in the light of who God is and what he's called us to be. We can't do anything apart from Christ. That's the bottom line, isn't it? And as Jackie reminded us last week, a truly humble and fruitful person stays attached to the vine. If you remove yourself from the vine, Jesus, you're useless. You're not going to grow. You're not going to flourish. But if you stay attached to Jesus, without him, we can do nothing. Jack Deere puts it this way, and it's just, I can't put this into my own words because he's just captured it so well. Humble people put their confidence in the Holy Spirit's ability to speak, not in their ability to hear. And in Christ's ability to lead, not in their ability to follow. I'm just going to read that again. But I think it's actually because that, Brian. Humble people put their confidence in the Holy Spirit's ability to speak, not in their ability to hear. And in Christ's ability to lead, not in their ability to follow. That kind of nails it on the head, doesn't it? It's not about us. It's nothing to do with us. Humility is that acknowledgement that God is all and in all, and it's all about him. Do you know, there's been so many examples this morning of God bringing this all together. I don't know if you've picked up the threads. Things that Ben said this morning, things that John said, verses he's read. Jackie's testament to Hots this morning, that was a classic. They came and met here to pray, making themselves available to God to speak to them. They were then willing to act on that. Jackie heard God and acted on that and spoke to the lady. And they had that humility to say that they couldn't do this without God. Jesus, Jackie couldn't do that without God empowering her. And it's just an example, a living example of God speaking because of those three things. God wants us to hear this morning, definitely. If you want God to draw close to you, to share his heart with you, to talk to you as a friend, as he did with Moses, then humble yourself before him. Make yourself completely available to him and be willing to be obedient. So if we do those things, does that mean that we're all going to have visions and dreams? We're all going to have words of prophecy? We're going to have angelic visitations or even see God face to face? Nope. No, it doesn't. But it does mean that you will hear God's voice in a way of his choosing. And in a way that's particular to your relationship with him. He knows how to communicate with you in ways that you understand. He knows how you're going to tune into him. You can't tell God how to speak to you. You just can't. He's God. But he knows you, and he wants you to hear his voice, and he will speak to you. So don't limit him in your life. I believe God wants to make his voice known to all of us here. I think he wants each one of us to step out that little bit more in faith, in trusting him, in wanting to give your time to him and being willing to be obedient to him so that you can hear him more, so that we can become kingdom people, so that we can show people that the grass is greener when you have God in your life. Come and join us. If you give him that full access, life's never going to be the same again. So, let's just go over that again. What are the characteristics of someone who hears from God? Be intentionally available. Allow God to own your day. Make time for conversation. Keep that comms channel open. Be willing to respond obediently. Don't miss out because you want to stay in your comfort zone. Life is so much fuller when you take that step of faith with God. And be humble. Have confidence in God's abilities, not your own. Trust that he'll lead you and that he knows best. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words and in the many ways that you choose to make them known to us. I just want to bless our family here this morning. I want to bless them with a desire to know you more and to hear from you more. I want to bless them with the gift of faith, that they would trust you more and they'd be willing to step out and be obedient to you. I want to bless them with a humble spirit, that in all things that they would acknowledge who you are, and that as you've told us in Scripture, we can do all things through Christ. So Lord, I want to thank you for the journey that you're leading us on. Thank you that you are opening our ears to you, even today. And I'm so excited about the possibilities of us stepping out in faith and obedience to you. How your kingdom will grow because of it. How your fame will be made known in Addleston and around. And so I just say, Lord, we love you. We worship you and we give you first place in our lives. Have your way amongst us. Your will be done, your kingdom come. In the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.